You will find out exactly how to refine your idea from the customers who are paying you to give you feedback. And that's when I found out that there's something bigger here. There's a need that's not being reached. And there's something about our products that's helping people feel more confident, get a raise or a promotion at their job, get over a bad breakup, getting ready for a marriage. You realize that you are simply one of the tools that they're betting on in order for something that's happening in their life.
This is The Fighting Entrepreneur, the podcast dedicated to entrepreneurs looking to change the world. Learn how to start, build, and scale a business in today's highly competitive business environment. Here's your host, The Fighting Entrepreneur, Anik Singhal.
What's going on, you crazy fighting entrepreneurs? Guess who it is? Your favorite person, the whole wide world, Anik Singhal, back with another fight. Today, very different kind of episode. I'm breaking all of my rules after, 2+ years. We're talking 2 years and 2 months worth of episode filming. I'm breaking the rules. We're going to do story time, kids. That's right. Today is good, but it's a crazy story. And that's why I'm allowing this to happen. We're going to tell a $100 million story, a nine-figure tale that will show you what is possible with a simple idea. And I'm telling you today, you are going to be super inspired. We're going to focus most of the time on the interview on the early days, right? Because I hear a lot of people be like, $100 million, wow, I'd be happy if I made $100. We're going to focus on the early stages, and I think that you're going to take away a lot from it. So be prepared, be excited, be ready to take notes, stay right where you are. Hey, if you're watching on YouTube, smash that subscribe button. You know I deliver amazing content. Click the like button, the thumbs up icon, the bell icon, hit the comments, leave a comment. Click everywhere you can. All right. And if you're listening on any of the other podcasts, make sure you go to onikpodcast.com, binge listen to all of our amazing episodes, and make sure you tell everyone about us and leave us a great review. Now, before we officially start, I always tell you, are you a member of Learn Nation or not? Come on, LURN.com. You're either part of this movement we've started or you're going to be on the sidelines watching it go right by you. Entrepreneurs are what are going to change the world. Be a part of it. We are helping facilitate connection, community, and education between entrepreneurs. Some amazing things coming on our platform this year. Wait till you see the features we're launching. Free to join, LURN.com. All right. Now, having said that, today's guest, his name is Josh Snow. Many of you probably have already heard of his tale or have seen him. He's doing amazing things. He's built a nine-figure brand in a matter of a few years. He's worked with some of the top influencers, celebrities through that brand. They've sold over, he's had 25 million, I want to say, people that have been customers. He's sold millions of products. It's insane. It's an insane story. And I'll start by giving him credibility this way. Today we're filming. Just yesterday, I booked him for a private consult for a business that I'm looking at launching. And it was incredible. The knowledge that he's got is huge. We won't even be able to get into 2% of it today, but hopefully we'll be able to move further. And I'll throw a plug out in case you do end up deciding you want to talk to him. We'll look him up on clarity.fm and you can book a call and book a schedule up because it's awesome. You'll really enjoy. It's not cheap. It's expensive, but it's worth every penny. Having said that, Mr. Josh, man, thanks so much for being here today. I am so excited to hear you tell us your tale, how the heck this thing got started. You know, $100 million plus dollars with teeth whitening. And I really actually want to know how you got into that. Like, is that something that you were super passionate about from day one or how it started? But thanks for being here, Josh.
Thanks, Anik. It's my pleasure. Absolutely.
So, Josh, we do have a bit of a little tradition here on this podcast. So if you don't mind, what we do is we take the fighting entrepreneur oath. And that is you raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, Josh Snow. Do solemnly swear.
Solemnly swear.
Tell the truth and nothing but the truth.
Tell the truth and nothing but the truth.
And reveal my killer, awesome, inspiring story.
And reveal my killer, awesome, inspiring story.
Awesome, man. Thank you. Josh, take it away. I don't even know where to start asking questions. Such a crazy story. I guess take us back in the day of it began, how it began. First of all, are you some, rich kid who had a bunch of money? Did you get a huge VC investment right from day one? Like, or is this an organic story that started with, just an idea like any of us would have?
I started when I was 13 years old. I didn't know what I was doing. I still don't know what I'm doing. But I started when I was 13 in the Phoenix Public Library because we didn't have a computer at home. And you know, would take the city bus from school, head over to the library. And there was a competition in the library. If you read a book, you take a comprehension test and then you get points for it. And I figured out that if I was reading the Four Dummies books, I would get 10 points while everyone else was reading children's books, getting 1 or 2 points. I was reading what were adult kind of picture books with the Four Dummies series. But along the way, I'd always been interested in computers. When I was a child, my mom brought home a spare keyboard, simply just a keyboard. And I used to sit there I didn't know what I was doing at the time. I was bored, but I was transcribing, you know, my cartoons and stuff like that, just typing it out because I was bored. And that helped me out a lot. I remember the look on my teacher's face when she saw how fast I was typing. And those were the early days. And so I started with $20, just enough to buy a domain name. I figured out what that was, early on, and started creating just little micro blogs. It was just what I would do is I would go to the library. I'd run over to the magazine rack. I would grab a topic, a couple of the magazines. I'd tear through them, read through them. And then I would kind of rehash it, create my own article with a pen name because I didn't want anyone to know who I was. And then I found out about Google AdSense, where you could put a little strip of code on your website. You make a penny every time someone clicks, sometimes more. And I remember the night I made my first 10 cents, I couldn't sleep because I said, wow, if I can make 10 cents doing nothing, how do I make more clicks? And so that kind of connection of I like doing this, I seem to be pretty good at doing it. And I didn't know what I was doing, right? I think that a lot of that was to my advantage. And we didn't have much money, at all. And, you know, my family was supportive and I didn't, go without food or anything that I needed. My parents are amazing, but we certainly, had to start from ground zero. But that attitude of saying, you know what, I'm going to try to figure this out. And if I can make 10 cents, I can make 20 cents. If I can make 20 cents, I can make 40 cents. Then I can make a dollar. I don't have to ask for lunch money to when I go to school. And I could help my parents out that way by not having to ask for things. And when I started to make real money, which at the time was a few hundred bucks here and there, I was able to say, hey, mom and dad, I'm going to do my back to school shopping. Hey, mom and dad, I'm going to buy the shoes. And to me, that was the biggest accomplishment, still looking back on it, being able to have that financial independence as a child to be able to say, hey, I'll take care of this. And not that anyone's asking me to do it. It just made me feel really good. And so those were the initial early days. And one thing led to the other. It was I learned how to make a website. I learned about Google AdSense. And then I said, well, who's advertising on my website where they're paying me 20 cents a click? And I said, oh, they're selling products. Okay, well, then I went to Google and I searched, how can I make more money than Google AdSense? Because 10 cents a click is good if you have a million clicks. But I said, there's got to be a better way. And then I found out about the world of affiliate marketing, where I could sell other people's products and get a piece of it. And that really set my career off. And I was I was fortunate to make a lot of money at a really young age and kind of figured out the affiliate side. But then I wanted to take it a step further. I said, how can they pay me $40 when someone's buying a product for 20 or if someone, how are they doing this? And so I wanted to understand the other side of the coin. I wanted to have affiliates. I wanted to figure that out. And so I said, well, how am I going to do it? I don't have much money. I don't even know what I'm doing still, but I had that aspiration of wanting more. I wanted to create something that people could experience, maybe a digital product or a physical product, something that was mine that other people were willing to pay for and that I could go and find affiliates to do. And so that business, grew and grew and grew. I went to Arizona State University in the Honors College there because I had a rule that I had to follow with my parents. They said, keep your grades up. We don't know what you're doing on the internet. Hopefully it's legal, but you keep doing what you need to do. And I remember buying my first computer. My dad took me to a store called Fry's Electronics. And I had found a website called sitepoint.com, which is now Flippa, where I could sell my websites. And I remember getting a $4,000 wire into my Chase account. And, I was like, I can buy my first car. I can go buy my first computer. And I didn't have enough money to buy the monitor and the tower. I had to buy the monitor first. And then I went back and bought the tower and, split the Cox internet bill with my parents. And now I wasn't bound to the 1-hour time limit at the library. I had infinite time as long as I got my homework done. And that was where I had exponential growth, because I was on every forum in the middle of the night, trying to learn, trying things out, following other people's journeys. And I just consumed as much as I could. And I was fortunate to make my first $1 million at 17 years old, and then went to college, stayed in college. I graduated in 24 months. So I was out at 20 years old because I knew I had this promise with my family, but I wanted to do this full time. And so continued to build that business. On the side, I was building websites for other people. And then a client came to me and said, Josh, you build amazing websites, but I would pay you every month if you could market my website. And the only thing I could afford at the time was search engine optimization. I didn't have the money to run pay-per-click campaigns. Mm-hmm. I wanted to, but the only thing I could do was search engine optimization. So I said, I've got to become the best at search engine optimization, because that's all I can afford. And that was really a blessing, because when you get it right, search engine optimization is incredibly profitable, incredibly scalable. Mm-hmm. And then you could sell that to other businesses. And so I was building a huge book of business. And while I was in high school, and I went to Google and I said, how to hire web designers online, because I couldn't have an office. I didn't even know what an office was. So I found freelancer.com, odesk.com, which is now upwork.com. I found these places that I could hire web designers, web developers, all kinds of people all over the world for, you know, as little as $5 an hour. And I started to build my team over Skype, doing that, paying through PayPal. Hey, can you help me out so I could take on more projects? And the word started getting out around town that there's this teenage kid who builds a website in a weekend. It's phenomenal. And he charges pennies on the dollar for it. And I just over-delivered, built that client roster list into the millions of dollars of value while I was in college. And once I graduated, I kind of, for the first time in my life, I had 24 hours a day to spend on business. And that's where I said, what do I want to do next? And you know, a few years later, the idea for Snow came along, and I was really inspired by two of my best friends who had created a company called Tuft & Needle, which is the first bed in a box retailer before Casper in 2012. And they said, we're quitting our jobs and we're going to go sell mattresses. We ran a Google ad. We didn't have the product, but we ran a Google ad, and the return on ad spend or whatever was through the roof. So we're going to go create mattresses. And that business ended up becoming the number one mattress on Amazon, a very, very successful story. I think they're over $200 million a year now. And they bootstrapped that here in Phoenix. So I got to kind of ride in the back seat. And I thought to myself, what am I going to do? What am I going to do next? And when I was 20, I think I was 23, this was like maybe 5 years ago or so, I was undergoing jaw surgery voluntarily. I had really bad TMJ, really bad headaches. And I finally decided, hey, I've got to do this before I get older. So I went underwent the journey for oral surgery, and in the process became really close friends with my oral surgeon, my orthodontist, et cetera. And I realized that you know, there's an opportunity here, that a lot of the products, you know, I spent a lot of my experience in cosmetic skincare. And I said, these oral care products, they don't look inspiring to me. I'm not inspired. I don't want to post it on Instagram. And I go, you know, I did the research. Turns out a lot of people have teeth, but it's a very, very difficult space. And at the time in my life, I think I was experiencing some delayed burnout. I think I was experiencing some level of depression, of trying to figure out what I was going to do next. Here's Wonder Boy Josh, you know, whatever he creates next has to be a $1 billion company. And that was that kind of pressure. But I took a step back and said, what do I want to build for myself that other people might, you know, vibe with? And oral care is kind of where I decided. I spent a lot of my life whitening my teeth. I've been there, done it, super sensitive teeth. And I go, there's got to be a middle between strips and going to the dentist. There has to be something at home that people can get amazing results from, even if they have sensitive teeth. And that is what started. I started to ask the questions from my orthodontist, my dentist. Hey, can you help me out? Hey, can I take you to dinner? Hey, what do you think about this? And I started reading. I'm not a dentist, but I've got teeth. I've whitened them before. I know what it's like. And I said, I want to bring that type of inspiration into what could be seen as a commoditized, kind of boring industry.
That's an amazing story. And I love how organic your story as an entrepreneur is. I want everyone to understand that my story is so similar. Like I got a later start than Josh for sure, but you know, it was I did a search. One search led to another thing. Then I started learning and I started reading. And then I AdSense was where I made my first money too. I made like a few bucks that first day. And I remember thinking, wow, that's cool. It works, but that's a few bucks. What else can I do? And that was how I got led to affiliate marketing. And I started doing ClickBank affiliate marketing. So that organicness is something you hear in all entrepreneur stories. Whereas I find a lot of people that are trying to become entrepreneurs, they want a springboard right from like where you are right now, where you don't know anything. That's like basically me, you handing me a football and me saying, well, I want to be Tom Brady by like this time next week. You know, I want to be in the Super Bowl. I want to be in the NFL by next. And that concept to anyone would be just ridiculous. But in entrepreneurship, it happens all the time. So you got to kind of go through those stages and learn and evolve. So then the question I have for you is, like, I've got an idea, right? I booked a consult call with you, and it's like I talked about an idea I have for an e-com store, for a brand, really, at this point. So, okay, you did the research. How do you get your first thing made? Like, a lot of people listening are like, I have an idea. I have this thing. Well, how do you get it made? Like, how did the first rendition of Snow end up in your hands?
So I went back to Google, of course, and searched toothpaste manufacturers, toothbrush manufacturers, just trying to see who was out there. And I just started blind emailing saying, hey, I'm working on this thing. I'm trying to create a formula that's safe for sensitive teeth. I've got some local dentists and dental professionals that are kind of advising me. Is this something that you guys do? And so I just blasted out 10 emails and I got a few responses back, hop on the phone with a few of them and said, here's what I'm trying to do. I'd like to create an at-home teeth whitening system with a unique formula that is safe for sensitive teeth, that gives the results that people are looking for. They can use over time, enamel safe. I kind of just look at it. And honestly, I went to Amazon. I looked at all the reviews of what was already out there and looking at the negative reviews mostly, to understand where could there be a gap for someone like me to enter the market. And I needed everything I could, because oral care still to this date is probably the hardest thing to pick. And looking back on it even, but it was, I needed those connections. And I went to Google for most of them. I went to LinkedIn and I searched for chemists, formulators of other companies that, that are similar. And I reached out to them. I said, hey, is there any way that I could, pay you for even 15 minutes of your time to talk about this formula that I'm trying to work on. And then they knew somebody. And I said, do you know someone who manufactures this? And so all I did is I learned at a young enough age that if I wanted to be successful in what I was doing, I had to focus on other people, other people's networks, other people's influence, other people's skill sets, other people's ideas, really working together to solidify that. And so I went to LinkedIn trying to find everybody I could, sending as many emails as I could to get people on the phone. And sometimes they do it for free. Sometimes I send them $250 on PayPal. And they knew the manufacturers. They knew who to talk to because they'd been doing it for 40 years. And I was just here trying to learn and they wanted to teach. And so, the master appears when the student is ready, right? I was ready. I went looking for it and hopped on the phone. You'd be surprised at how many people want to help you out, whether it's in the coffee business, the sunglass business, the carpet business. You hop on LinkedIn, it's free. The people are right there. You can see everything they've done. You hop on a phone call with one of them and you can ask some questions. Hey, if you were me starting a teeth whitening business, what would you focus on? What would you avoid? What are some pitfalls? And at the end, I would ask them, hey, this was super helpful. Is there anybody else in your network that you think I should chat with? They go, oh, so-and-so, I used to work with him. He used to handle manufacturing. You should talk to him. So just little by little by little, it happened fast, but I was dead set on a mission. I knew that I couldn't get there by myself. I had to go out, talk to the dentist. I talked to my dentist. Why not? I'm in the chair, let's talk to him. What do you sell? What do patients ask for? What do they come back for? What do they complain about? The data is already there. It's on Amazon. It's on LinkedIn and it's in your dental office. It's right in front of you. You just have to be willing to ask the right questions, know how to ask the right questions, take those questions, ask for referrals, ask for help. And it was really a village. Before I knew it, it was a village of people rooting for Snow to become something. And then there was that accountability. Now that I had told people about it, they started asking me every time I went in for my braces to get tightened, or they say, how's that Snow project coming along? And you go, oh, shoot, you guys are helping me out on this. I got to make this thing come to life. And so really what it came down to was, you know, send me some stuff that you've made in the past from the manufacturer. Here's what I like. Here's what I don't like. Here's what I'd like modified. Send it back. And so it was really just back and forth, Gmail, hopping on the phone, not much money. I didn't spend a ton of money. I could have. I was a multimillionaire when I started Snow, but I started it in my spare bedroom. I shipped out every package from that spare bedroom. I learned how to use Shipping Easy to print labels. I learned how to do all this stuff from scratch because I wanted to really absorb it. I really wanted to learn how to do it so that one day when I had to bring on additional team members, I would understand what I was looking for. Being able to roll up my sleeves. I could have day one said, I need a 50,000 square foot warehouse. I need this. Here's an R&D budget. Nope. It was just me ordering stuff on Amazon, mixing stuff in my kitchen, giving it to the dentist, say, hey, will you try this on some patients? They're like, okay, don't kill them. You know, just little things like that. And teeth whitening is where we started because I asked my dental professional friends, I said, hey, what could I do? I'm not a dentist. I'm not a doctor. They go, the only thing we do in our office that you could do is teeth whitening. And I said, well, that's where I'm going to start. And so just by asking those questions, I think, and listening and asking for those referrals, it sounds like a cop-out of an answer, but it is exactly, and I still do that. Every time I want to start a new brand or I'm working on something, I hop on LinkedIn, I hop on clarity.fm. I'm looking for people that have the resources that I need to buy time. I'm buying time in those scenarios. And so I may have learned that earlier on in my life, but it's something that everybody could apply today.
Okay. I've wrote a lot of notes because I did not expect this interview to go in this direction, but we have to highlight a few things for every one of you listening because I actually have goosebumps as he's talking because this is exactly what I do to the T. And thanks to him verbalizing it, I wrote it down. If you're looking to start a business, the first thing I have people tell me all the time, well, I don't know where to start. I don't know what to do. I have no idea half the time what I'm doing. All right. And I actually did an episode on this in this podcast about binge learning. So you can go search my episodes. It's called Binge Learning. And when I want to learn, it's not just how to like launch a new company. It's like when I want to learn a new skill. The most recent one I can remember is hiring, right? I wanted to relearn how we do our hiring. And I applied this to it. And oh man, have we seen evolution? This is how I learned Facebook ads. This is how I learned YouTube ads. This is how I learned funnels. But more than anything, very recently, I decided I want to build this company. It's an e-com related company. It's a new business. I want to go big with it in 2021. Well, guess what? I'm surrounded by people that do really well with e-com, but I don't. We even have courses and learn on e-com, but they're drop shipping related. And the thing I'm thinking of is not drop shipping. So I've heard some trends that Josh has mentioned a few times, and I want to bring that up to everyone. First of all, Josh has mentioned Google more times than any other person I've ever interviewed. There's a reason. Pay attention to it. Google it. Do you know how many freaking answers there are on Google and YouTube? Like it's uncanny. People will ask me questions. I do this to my friends too all the time. One of my best friends will always be like, seriously, dude, Google it. Like it's right there. Number two, took people out. Brilliant. Do you know how many people will say yes if you're like, can I buy you lunch? Can I take you for dinner? Can I take you for a drink? Most people, maybe not during COVID time, but then just ask for a call. 90% of people say yes. And these are so many missed opportunities. So many. Okay, paid people for their time. I can't stand the fact that people aren't willing to do that. I'll give you a prime example. I'll use Josh as an example. I had him on a podcast today. All right, we've been chatting back and we're Facebook friends. I'm pretty sure if after this podcast, if I was like, hey, Josh, can I borrow your ear for 20 minutes? I have an idea I want to run by you. I'm like 95% sure he would have said, yeah, sure, fine. But I actually went and booked him and paid for his time because a couple of reasons. One, value his time. Two, I want him to see that I'm serious. So I paid for it. Three, the next time I want to have some time with him, it'll be 10 times easier when he knows that I come at it seriously. I have now spent the last week and a half investigating this new e-com idea I have. I have spent a total of maybe $700. And when I tell you I've gotten knowledge, there's no course on the planet. All right. I've spent maybe about 6 hours on the phone with people. There's no course on the planet that would have given me what I've picked up in those 6 hours in about, I don't know, a few hundred bucks. So the fourth thing you said, focus on people. Again, courses are great. People have amazing wisdom. I love focusing on people. It's where I go first. Number five, sending out emails. Reach out to people. How many, be honest, how many of you actually do this? I do it all the time. And you said you use LinkedIn as well, which is brilliant. Like, that is where I'm doing all my hiring now, but I didn't even think about this. What about my idea? Why don't I use LinkedIn to go talk to people about my idea? Like, find people that are already in the industry and say, hey, can I ask you two questions? Again, 90% of the time people say yes. Last one, love this, probably my favorite. You said, ask the right questions. And it's so funny because this is a true story and I want everyone to learn from this. Josh saw it, he knows this. I went to my Facebook profile a week ago and I said, I'm investigating this type of idea. Do you know anyone? Tag people that you know that I should talk to, that I should, I said, tag people you think I should pay for their time. And Josh got tagged like 15 times in that, and other people got tagged as well. And my first call, I remember someone, so I reached out and people, again, most people are like, yeah, sure. What do you need? I get on a call and the person's like, well, what are your questions? What are you hoping to get out of this call? And you know what my answer was? I have no idea. I was like, actually, these calls are so that I can determine what the right questions are. I'm so new to this. I'm just trying to learn more. And so I listened. And so right now, if you have an idea, make a list of the people that you feel that you know. And I love that other the other part of Josh. This was like number seven. Josh, I don't do this. And I'm going to learn from that. End every conversation with, who do you know that I should talk to? And it's like, so quickly will that thing just spiral. So everyone who's thinking right now, you got an idea, you think you're onto something, you don't know how to start it. This is it. We could end the interview right now. It was worth its weight in gold. This is how you do it. And you're hearing it from a nine-figure entrepreneur where he's like, I still do it every day. Like, there is no secret sauce. This is just how you do it. Josh, I mean, it seriously is super helpful and very, very interesting to see the pattern in what you've said. And you said you continue to do it. I guess I'll continue, since we have a few minutes left. I'll ask someone who's listening right now who hasn't started their first e-com project, maybe they have no idea. Talk to them. They got no clue. They want to do an online business. They're in, but they're like, I don't know if I want to do dental or this or that. Like, where can they go to get some ideas?
So, you know, they're all, the ideas are all around us. And I've got a sketchbook I bought from Amazon for $12. And I write them all down. I like to write them. I used to do them in Evernote and things like that. I write all my ideas down. I've got crazy ideas every day. And I write them down because the death of any great entrepreneur is the loss of focus. Distraction kills all. Ego's the enemy for sure, but distraction can kill anything. And so being focused means that first, you know, you don't know where to go. Most people are stuck trying to find the perfect idea, something that nobody has ever done before. Nobody's done this before. If I'm hearing a pitch and someone says no one has done this before, I'm almost out before I can even say it, because that means that we have to, unless you're a medical engineer with a team and you guys have been working on this thing. There are instances, you know, I'm generalizing here, but you want to do something that a lot of people do. Okay. But you want to do it one, you want to do one thing better. Okay. So let's say, for example, think about the products you buy on a day-to-day basis. You know, I was talking to somebody, they go, Josh, how do you know which stocks to buy? And where do you get your stock tips from? I go, well, you know, my girlfriend buys her clothes from Revolve. They show up in 2 days all the time. She loves Revolve. They're public. I bought the stock. Got it. And it's went up, I wear Lululemon, so I buy Lululemon. I watch Netflix every month. We love Netflix, so I buy Netflix stock. It's right in front of you. A lot of times, what happens is that overcomplication leads to exhaustion. It leads to shiny object syndrome. You're looking for the fastest way. Let me tell you this: you got to follow the money. And when my best friend started Tough Dedito, there were a couple other projects. One that I was working with them on. And they kind of put a few out there, a few fishing hooks out there just to see. Then it spent a lot of money. Like I said, I don't think they had a product to sell, like actually ship. They just had a landing page that they ran Google ads on. They said, we'll spend $100. If we get one sale, we'll do it one more time. If we get two sales, we'll kind of look at it. They followed. These are two of the smartest people I know. Engineers, Silicon Valley, top, selling beds in a box, right? And it's because they followed the money. That's where they saw the success. And so it's not about you. It's about the customer. Okay. But you can look around yourself and say, what do I do? Well, I brush my teeth two times a day. What's there? I wear shoes. What's there? I wear pants. What's there? I like hats. What's there? So you can start by looking at yourself and kind of seeing what's going on. What you want to be wary of, if you want to build a brand that's going to last a long time, is that you don't want to build a business on rented land in any way, shape, or form. That could be building a business on a trend that's only going to be around for a small period of time. It could be, you know, you want to avoid trends because trends mean that you're going to constantly be switching ideas, switching products, switching teams, switching all of this. You want to be in one of the 1,000 industries, oral care being one of them and one of the hardest, but there's 1,000 industries. You want to pick one of them. It could be carpet, could be rug, trash cans. There's a company called Simple Humans worth a few $100 million selling sexy trash cans. You know, they're all around you. It's all, and now because of COVID, change is opportunity. And so now you go, okay, there are a lot of makeup brushes out there. One of the best ideas I saw the other day was an antimicrobial makeup tool brand. So all the brushes. So all of a sudden everybody's got 100 brushes. They've got all the tool set. What's going to make them throw them out and buy yours instead? And it's really the novel ideas that are marketed well and over a long period of time that make the most money. Beauty blender. It's a little sponge that they sell for $20. I think my girlfriend spends $600 a year on those little pink sponges that I know they make for 5 pennies, but that's what she uses. It's part of her tool set. And then another thing to think about is you want to sell the shovel. And so the selling the shovel is, if you want to make money and you want to have a business over a long period of time, you want to sell a shovel. Beauty blender is not, they sell makeup now and stuff like that, but it's a tool to use your makeup more effectively. And makeup brushes, antimicrobial coating. Now I'm thinking of all the germs that are in my makeup brushes, right? So you have to think about, it's just what takes one thing. So take something you buy a lot of and you make them stretchy jeans, shoes that are great for snow. You got to just add one thing to a commodity. Warren Buffett says, buy commodity, sell brand. And you look at some of his largest holdings, and you look at See's Candies, which has actually been their highest return on investment in history in their entire company. And all it is, it's candy, but it's nostalgic and it's emotional purchase. And they do it very well. It's dependable. A brand has to be dependable over a period of time. Look at Starbucks. You go to Starbucks in Japan, you go to Starbucks in New York City, you can still order your venti, frappuccino, boom, boom, boom. They actually created their own language so that they didn't have to compete. The best businesses don't compete. The best businesses don't compete. And so those are concepts that we think about now. Take it to day zero and just look around. Take a break, look around, write down some things that you use that you recently returned, and then hop on Amazon and look at the top sellers and then look at all the negative reviews. The copywriting is going to be written for you. You just copy paste it from the negative review. If they say the shoes are great, but they're not waterproof. Okay. Guess what my first ad's going to be? The shoes you love, but now for the first time, waterproof. And it's my brand. And that's our thing. Waterproof shoes for whatever. And so you just got to have one tweak on a commodity in order to build a brand. And you got to freaking own it. You got to own that tweak and that angle over time. And so you see, skincare now. Now they're putting CBD in skincare. CBD skincare. There you go. So what's happening is you take a highly commoditized space or a super niche one. It could be a super niche one. And you can go one way or the other. You could start hyper niche, build a brand and grow it over time. Or you can start really big with an idea like coffee. There's a company out there called Death Wish Coffee. There's a water company called Liquid Death. Liquid Death is canned water. If you go to liquiddeath.com, you'll see how they own that angle. They actually take the negative reviews from the customers and they turn them into ads. And they go, we want you to hate us. Order now. And it's gone viral. It's an 8-figure success story almost overnight. They've raised a lot of money. Death Wish Coffee and Black Rifle Coffee. People go, coffee? I can't start a coffee business. Death Wish Coffee is super caffeinated coffee, period. Huge success story. I think they even got a Super Bowl ad. It's still a huge company. The number one subscription company on Shopify, Black Rifle Coffee. They're for veterans, by veterans. They hire veterans. It's all made in the USA. They show videos of that. They show videos of them shooting rifles while they're drinking their coffee. $100 million brand selling a commodity by taking an angle and owning it over a long period of time.
Brilliant. No, I absolutely love it. There is so much gold in that. And I want everyone to basically rewind and go through it. You know, that advice you gave on stock picking, it was funny. I had gotten that same advice from someone else two, three years ago. And it's crazy. I went and bought Amazon, Disney, Netflix, Tesla, And last year, my massive returns on my portfolio were because of these companies that, guess what? COVID or not, everyone wants to use. And no wonder they survived COVID. Brilliant advice. All right. So before we end, I do want to capture the journey, right? And I think as we started, I told you like, hey, I don't want to focus so much on today. We could do that on a subsequent episode, maybe one day, where it's like, what's life like for Josh today running this nine-figure company? Okay. So you have this idea, you have this product, you said you're in your bedroom packing these and shipping them out. What would you say was the tipping point? At what point did that freight train just take off and lead you to becoming a nine-figure company? So where was that point where it's like, here's Josh at home running this thing, trying to get it off the ground, to like, holy crap, now we're destined to be a nine-figure company. What did that?
I started to call the customers myself. I picked up the phone because it's really hard. Business is hard all the time, but you get better. You can get better. So you got to focus on yourself, your personal development. But business is tough in general. So you might as well sell something that you believe in. That's very important. And I wanted to sell something that I know works, that I would give to my own mother, that I could wear on my shirt, that I was proud to talk about, a product that really worked. But what was interesting is that in the beginning, I thought I was building a company for millennials. I thought that this was kind of a, you know, fashion forward, design forward with the efficacy. That's what I thought we're building. In reality, our core customer, after calling them, she's 55, 65, sometimes 75. She's drank a bottle of wine for the last 25 years, and she's got super sensitive teeth and a lot of dental work she doesn't want to mess up in there. Or he recently went through a divorce and is back on the dating scene and is looking to feel more confident. And in the process of going to the gym, wanted to also work on the smile, which is the number one thing that people recognize. So when by listening to the stories of customers who have bought from you, even if you have five customers that don't know you, call them up and say, what made you buy? Offer them a $25 gift card, some free product, or say, what's your favorite restaurant? You take your wife out for dinner tonight on us. I just have 15 minutes with a few questions if you don't mind. And so asking the right questions to your customers, what I learned is that we're in the confidence business, and that the products that we're creating are actually sometimes transformational. Now you've got your everyday power user who just wants to keep their teeth white and they want toothpaste and all of that. But then you have people who haven't smiled in a photo for 30 years and they're smiling for the first time in their life. You hear the stories and the voices of even your first five customers, and you realize that it wasn't about you to begin with, that you're simply there to be a steward of this idea. And in business, you know, you gotta keep your ear close to the ground, as close as you can keep it. And when I realized that people's lives were changing as a result of using our products, that there was something else there. And then they started to ask, when are you guys coming out with the toothpaste? What's next? When are you guys coming out with the mouthwash? What's next? And so all of a sudden, it quickly got taken from Josh's business to the customer's business. And I simply was just there to listen, to gather the feedback, see how I can make it happen, talk to the manufacturers. Hey, the cord is too short. A lot of people are complaining about that. Can we make it longer? And then I would call back the customers and say, thanks to you, we made the cord longer. I've got a fresh one headed your way, as you know, what helping us invent this. You helped us create this. We're going to send it to you for free. Let us know if it's long enough. Shoot me a text back. Using the customers to help you build the business, because your early adopters are the ones who are going to keep you true to your brand. And so calling those early customers is so, so important, that keeping them in the loop. Some of them now have spent thousands of dollars on our store. They bought it for the entire family. And right in front of you. In fact, you don't have to go and hire some big consulting company to try to survey a focus group that hasn't bought your product. You go to Shopify, you click orders, you click the first one you see, you take out your phone, you call them, you shoot them a text, you follow up with them, send them some free product. You will find out exactly how to refine your idea from the customers who are paying you to give you feedback. And that's when I found out that there's something bigger here. There's a need that's not being reached, and there's something about our products that's helping people feel more confident, get a raise or a promotion at their job, get over a bad breakup, getting ready for a marriage. You realize that you are simply one of the tools that they're betting on in order for something that's happening in their life. And that's when I realized, well, we have an opportunity to excite people about oral care. Because if you spend a little bit more money on something and it's better quality and you really like it, you post it on Instagram, you now become a thought leader in oral care in your small community. And so now you're a steward to that. And so empowering our customers to talk about our products, to be ambassadors with us, to give us feedback. We ask every customer, what product would you like to see from us next? Where did you hear about us? All this stuff that's free to do. We still run all of our businesses off Google Sheets and Google Docs and Gmail, and no fancy software. We don't have Salesforce. I don't have an assistant. I book all my own travel. It's simple. We're in the people business and we're selling products that people want and enjoy. And then we call them up and ask them, hey, if you were running this company for a week, what would you do? Well, it took 5 rings to get on the phone. I would hire another person on the phone. You know, I used to work in customer support for 30 years. Oh, wow. Would I be willing to pay you for an hour of your time to consult my customer service team from a customer who actually just bought and went through a bad experience? So you can share it from your voice, but I value your time. Would that be okay? Utilizing the customers that are in front of you. The wealth is right in front of you. You just got to tap it, but you got to start when you get your first 5 customers. The first 5 will help you get the next 5,000 and the next 5 million. It's a snowball effect, but you got to listen to it. We spend too much time trying to have all the right answers. I'm reading all the books. I'm trying to figure it all out. And I realized I don't have all the answers, but together we can have all the answers. We just got to ask for it. And I know that sounds romantic, whatever. It's just the truth. Think about it. You call them up. This person spent $300 on you today. Why did you buy? What would have stopped you from buying? And then if you really want to light the world on fire, there's a little tab in Shopify called abandoned checkouts. Those are people that fill out your entire checkout sequence and they run away before hitting process the order. Those people you really want to talk to, because they go, the website was too slow. I didn't know if you guys accepted PayPal. I didn't know when it was going to arrive. I have veneers. I don't know if it was going to work on my teeth or damage them. You learn from the people who tell you no the most. And so we started calling them up, and it's now a multi-million dollar strategy for us, because we find out, we call them up and they go, yeah, I was just wondering if you ship to Canada. Of course we do. Oh, okay, go ahead and process my order. And so now we're able to recover all of those sales that would have not been ours and get extremely valuable feedback. And guess how much you paid for it? $0. $0 for it. And I wish that every business would start like this, run it like this, because it would help everybody in the e-commerce world, because customers would feel a lot more trusting to buy online if we would all work on this together. So I would say that was a turning point for me, talking to the customers. And that's the thing I recommend to everybody today. If you're not talking to at least 5 of your customers a day on your iPhone, you're not doing it right. You got to get on the phone with them.
That's brilliant. Love it. No, lots of golden nuggets there. Man, Josh, it has been truly inspiring, which is what I thought it would be. I mean, I've gotten a lot of ideas. You're absolutely right. It's something I don't do. I got to get on the phone and talk to our customers, even here at Learn. You know, learn, understand their experiences and improve our products and our customer support driven by that. Even the idea that I'm currently toying with that I talked to you about yesterday, it's like, hey, the first thing I should do as I enter that company is pick up the phone and call their customers and why'd you buy this? And what did you think about what the product was that you got back? So brilliant. Love it. Awesome. I really want to have you back, Josh. I think that this story needs to continue to be told. I want to talk more about the later stages of your business as well. Thank you so much for being here. How can people learn more about you, follow you, buy your products? Just, you know, throw it all out there, man. How can people connect with you and your company?
Well, first of all, Nick, I appreciate you. What you're doing here is extraordinary. I'm a huge fan of yours. And it's an honor to not just be a friend of yours, but to be able to share the platform that you've built. It's incredible. I can be found on Instagram. It's probably the easiest spot, Josh Snow. We're at Snow for the brand on Instagram. trysnow.com. But for me personally, Instagram's mostly where it all goes down, at Josh Snow.
That's awesome. All right, guys, I definitely recommend you follow what Josh is doing. And, you know, I had thrown out, if anything he mentioned today, if you're like, man, I really want to talk to him one-on-one, then as long as you're serious enough to, hey, just put some money down and pay for that, clarity.fm, that's where I booked him. Go for it. Just type in Josh Snow. He'll come right up. Having said that, everyone, you guys know what the drill. Make sure you click subscribe below, click the thumbs up icon. If you're listening to us on any other platform, make sure you've subscribed, told other people about it, left us a review. OnicPodcast.com for many other amazing, inspiring entrepreneurial podcasts. It's better than Netflix and Hulu. I think so, at least. So until you've listened to all of my episodes, don't listen to Netflix and Hulu and all the other places. Go there after. All right. And LURN.com. All right. Go there and sign up and be a part of this revolution we've created. Josh, thank you very much. And thank you to all of you who are listening. As I always say, when life pushes you, stand straight, smile, and push it the heck back. Come on, fighting entrepreneurs. Go out there and fight for your dreams. Until next time, this is Onyx Singhal signing off.
Thanks for listening to The Fighting Entrepreneur with your host, Onyx Singhal.